This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. We are led by our senior pastors, Jeff and Tracy Lamont. Today's message is titled, Church Words, What Do They Mean? And was offered by Pastor Burt Moore. It was recorded on August 4th, 2019. It's our prayer that God will use it to begin and reveal something new in you. God bless.
So, I sat with a gentleman this week, and we were talking, and we began to talk about letting the Holy Spirit lead you. And we talked, and I've been watching this gentleman, several of them, over several weeks as I've been having a class with him. And this curious look just continues to come over his face. And it's got to be a safe place for people to really feel like they can ask questions. It's got to be a safe place in relationship for someone to challenge your thoughts, to challenge what you may have said. But as I was watching this individual, I began to figure out and listening to the Holy Spirit myself, he doesn't have a clue what you're really talking about. And we do that a lot in church. The way we have our own dialect of speech. We have the way that we say things. When we sang the song this morning, "We Are More Than Conquerors," there may have been some out here in the audience. And it's not because you're stupid, okay? Do not hear me say that. It's because you don't know what is a conqueror. What are we conquering? What does that mean? What do I do with it? Am I supposed to feel it? Am I supposed to believe it? Am I supposed to walk with it? Is it for males and females alike? What's that mean? We have our own speech in the body of Christ. And the body here at 9310 Old Henry is different than the body of speech that's happening at Mark and Jill's church over on the south side. And it's different from Zach and a group of young people and Miss Jen. They went down the Line Fork. The church speech that was going on in Line Fork, totally different than what's going on here. We have our own dialect, and we sit and we have coffee, and we try to disciple and to lead and to grow others, but we're really missing the mark because what we're saying is going over their head. And they're scared or nervous or don't know how to ask you, what are you even talking about? Who wants to look stupid? Gotta take her. Sometimes we have to look that way in order to get to the bottom. I love teachers like Pastor Jeff. That guy can throw some words out there that I'm going, I got to write that in my phone because later today I got to go home and look that up to see what that even meant. And in that, I get caught up there and I lose the translation of what he was saying, and then I'm lost. And I know there's those of you out there that catch all that stuff and it isn't a problem for you. But there may be even ways I say things that are out there, and you go, what did he just say? It made sense in my brain, but it may not have made sense for you. But we don't take the time, we don't engage each other to the level where we can actually hear and understand what each other are saying. And that's so important on the way through. Jesus, when the young ruler came, they were all coming, and the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers, and they come and says, Jesus, what's the most important commandment. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that sounds pretty straightforward church talk. But what does that really mean? I don't even like my neighbor. I know none of you have that problem, but my neighbor don't like me most of the time. Well, I've never really sat down, do you ever like me? But actions show that I'm not very liked. Actions show that they could do without me more than they could do with me. But what does that mean? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you know? I'm still figuring it out. That means that I treat them with respect. That's starters for me. That means that when I go by, I wave and try to give a smile and not under my breath curse them. I'm just being real. This is the raw preacher up here. Y'all don't have this problem more than likely, but I do. Do I have to love the guy that cut me off and flipped me off going down the Gene Snyder? I think I'm supposed to. But see, did you get all that? Did you understand all that when I read this, when I quoted loosely the scripture? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body. Well, I think I can get you with the heart. The mind, I pretty much, yeah. Okay, I can pretty much cover that one maybe. But then love your neighbor as yourself. But I didn't think about the guy that cut me off or the guy that's suing me because he doesn't like, or you fill in that blank for you. It's hard to love people who don't love you. So how do we get past this? We sit and we ask more questions from one another. We sit and we have real, what would I call real church, sitting in a circle and asking questions. I've got several group of men's groups that I do, and these are some of the hard things we get down to. I'm doing a book with one group called Embracing Grace. It's from Daniel Brown, the Foursquare Daniel Brown, the Church Daniel Brown. And it talks about grace and grace abounding so much. Does that allow us to sin more? Now, those questions don't really come up in a generic circle unless you got somebody there that likes to ask a lot of deep questions and is ready for the pushback. Because there will be pushback with questions like that. Are you prepared to go where Jesus is calling you to go with your conversations? Are you asking the hard questions? Are you looking into your own life and the things that your parents taught you, the church that you grew up in, the culture that has defined and put parameters around you? Are you asking, is this right? Is this what you're calling me to, God? Is that true for me? See, my dad would have been qualified as a religious man, a church-going man. But I've had to tear apart everything religious that I was taught and relook at it. I've had to tear apart all these ideals and these scriptures and the meanings that they threw at me and had to re-explore what they meant. How many against what the Word of God? How many of you are doing that? I'm asking for a raise. Are you tearing apart your religious upbringing, your church upbringing, and question, God, am I seeing this right? Am I hearing this right? Am I walking this out right? You need to be doing that. Because we're missing a lot by not doing that. We're walking in a lot of dark, misty, I don't know what I believe because I've never really explored it. I don't know where to go with that because no one's ever really asked me that question. I sit down with new people all the time, and one of the first questions I ask them, and this is a stumper, this will absolutely stump 98% of the people I sit with. What are you dreaming about? Simple question. Should be an exciting question. Should be an eye-opening, what are you dreaming about? What's the Lord and you dreaming about for your future? Am I supposed to dream? Are you supposed to dream? You got to ask yourself that question. Are you guys jealous that I get to drink water up here? Thank you for allowing me to do that. There's so many questions that we need to ask one another. There's so many places that the Lord wants to take us with our conversation. But when it gets to be too deep, we're off. We're on to something else. We have no time to sit and have real conversation. But I've seen people have all sorts of time to sit and look through absolutely mind-numbing nothing on Facebook. What'd you learn? Not a thing. Same thing I heard yesterday. That sandwich was good. That piece of chocolate was delightful. Anything new going on? No, same old stuff. Why are we on that? Why are we wasting life? I like the timers on these. You can actually set your timer to figure out how much time it says you explored, but you've really wasted. How much time did you waste on Facebook? Yeah. I don't have time to read the Bible, but I did 3.5 hours this week of absolutely nothing on my Facebook or my game. I've got a game. I've got a card game on here I like to play. And I'm going, wow, are you wasting a lot of time? But that's okay if that's how you want to. It's not productive, but it's okay. So I ask you this because one of the questions I have is what religious, what childhood belief, something somebody took, are you clinging on to that you've always wondered, is that true? Are there any of those in your life? What am I grabbing a hold of? And so you're out in the middle of the ocean, your boat just blew apart, and here comes this little stick that's floating, and you're grabbing a hold of it to keep you afloat. What is it in your life? And this is life or death for you that you're hanging on to. What little piece of scrap of something, instead of going back here and saying, Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, guys, the visitation days are over for the Holy Spirit. Again, I want to explain, I don't want this to be church talk. When Jesus died on the cross, when he really checked out for the day on the cross, the veil, the temple veil, and if you don't know what the temple veil was, it was this thick thing of material, curtains, and it hung in the Holy of Holies to keep God protected from man, normal man. You had to be someone special to go in there and be anointed. When Jesus died on that cross that day, that baby split from the top to the bottom, opened wide open, and we had free access. That changed everything for us. That opened up a whole new world of us exploring what the heart of God really was. And he wants us to come in and have each and every bit of that. So what are you hanging on to that you can't take to him? So the Holy Spirit is no longer visitation. When you accepted him and Jesus died on the Holy Spirit was inside of us now. The Holy Spirit resides inside of you, and he wants to teach you and bring to remembrance all things at all times, at any moment, night or day. He's no longer just coming and going and visiting, because Abraham, the Spirit of God, came and visited and left. God came and visited and left. You remember the conversation they had at the top of the hill about Sodom and Gomorrah down there. And then he was gone. But we have that within us now that we can go and go, what are you really saying to me about this scripture? What are you really saying to me about this idea? So there's boy, I could go a lot of places with this today. This is really kind of fun. I love it. I think Jen and I had it, and Car and I as well. What's going through my mind and heart this morning is like a buffet. Lord, what do you want me to pick, and what do you want me to set out on the table? What do you want me to have today? There's just so many cool things and thoughts going through my heart today. And Jesus wants us to begin to challenge religion. He wants us to challenge church legalism. He wants us to challenge just thoughts that you've accepted because your mom and dad was that way. I'm a four square pastor. I got to figure out why I'm a four square pastor. If you were a Catholic, you had to figure out why you were a Catholic and why you're here now. What are you searching for? What are you looking for? What is stirring inside of you? If you're not asking those questions, then you're just following somebody. And if you're just following somebody, your beliefs are not backing up your actions. What is it you're truly believing this morning? What are you believing God for this morning? What do you believe in God to show you this morning? Where do you want to go? Or are you just here this morning because I can check off the box because I went to church on Sunday morning? I did that for a lot of years. I was taught that you were in church every time the door was open. So I resented the church. I did not like the church because I wasn't taught that there was a relationship in the church. I was taught there was a lot of thumpings and you're going to get in trouble in the church. A lot of don'ts in the church. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. And I had to sit really, really quiet. And I was a fidgeter, I was a mover, and that got me in a lot of trouble. You were not to move as a young boy. Well, you guys can move all you want. You can wiggle and you can jiggle and do all that stuff out there. If you're listening and you have an open heart, you're still going to hear what the Spirit wants you to hear. So we're in a society, are we really defining, working out our salvation? Are we really taking the ideas that are out there, and we are in an information again, let me give you this idea. You're probably getting, you can look up anything on Google and get somebody's idea. You'll probably get 10 people's ideas on what it is. But are you searching these things out for your heart and soul this morning? Are you seeing what's good for me? What's good? What does the Holy Spirit really want me to do? And how can I put aside the religion and the legalism and really see what the Lord? Because your life as a son or God, a son or daughter of God, will change dramatically when you start figuring out the answers to these questions. So we're gonna quickly review a few things. Lord, do you want to go down that road? No, he doesn't. The Lord has new knowledge for you this morning. He wants to tear apart some of your old beliefs. And I call them beliefs because it's what drives you. And he wants you to put each and every one of those beliefs on the altar and going, is this where you truly want me to be walking? Is this truly what you have for me? Is this truly the path that you have me down? And he wants us to ask him those questions. He wants us to figure out where to walk forward from this. And in that, he is sure and just to begin to unfold that with you. Now, if you've closed off for so long that you need somebody, find somebody to ask these questions. Find somebody that you can tear apart, that you trust, that will help you tear apart a belief system. And that doesn't mean everything they say is the gospel. Don't run with that. But do go with the Holy Spirit, expose to my heart the things you want me to walk in, believe, and where you want me to go with these things. Because he's got new information. He has new information for you. And you may be squared away already. Thank God for that. Now get out and begin to speak those things to your neighbors. The other thing is when you do sit across the table from someone, when you are a parent and you begin to talk to your children about things of the Word of God, grandparents, when you begin to talk to your grandchildren, be careful how you say things. Don't assume that they know what everything means. Don't assume that they are going to grasp. They're going to get the language. They'll pick up the language real quick, but they will not have the definition of the language unless we break it down for them. Husbands, talk this over with your wives. Wives, talk this over with your husbands. Because we've got to figure out where we all stand in the midst of this, and not just as we do a lot of assumption in the church. There's a lot of people that Sunday after Sunday hear, you must be saved to get into the kingdom of heaven. Well, if I don't know much about church, what does that mean? Where do I go with that? Who do I ask that? Because if I don't ask that, I'm going to make up my own ideas with that. And 20 years down the road, I'm going to figure out, someone's finally going to come along and go, do you know what it really means to be saved? Let me break that down. Well, I heard about that. I thought it was because I went to church. Well, you're not a Christian just because you're sitting in church. Just no more than, I like this one. This has been around the church for a long time. No more than you are a car if you're sitting in a garage. If you never heard that one in church before, you got to hang out in the Midwest. That's a good one out there. So let's begin to ask the Holy Spirit. Let's begin to talk to one another. Let's begin to break this barrier of silence apart and really find out. Let's go a little deeper. Don't be scared of the questions. and don't be scared to ask the questions. Amen? All right. Let's pray. I've ran us over a little bit this morning. It's 11:30, and you guys are all patient. So, Heavenly Father, I just ask you to look across this audience, look across the hearts, dear Father. And Lord, I don't know where everyone stands, but Lord, I do challenge them, Lord. This wasn't an overly exciting message that I gave, but I pray that it was useful. I pray that it went straight to the soul and cut deep, dear Father, that we are allowed to come to you freely and to ask and to seek and to find, that we can, Lord, find a brother or sister, Lord, or a couple, dear Father, and to ask and seek and find. So we can define, dear Lord, where we're headed, Lord, with our thoughts, our processes, where we're headed, Lord, with our hearts, Lord, because the world is looking for an answer. And what is that answer, Lord, that we can give them? And we've got to have it, Lord, so that we're just not another group of people, the church, who doesn't have any more answer. We're as clueless as everybody else. Lord, the church is supposed to be the happiest group of people on the earth. Lord, we're supposed to be the freest bunch of people on the earth. Lord, we're supposed to be, this place is supposed to be a hospital, dear God. A place, Lord, where those that are wounded can come in and get patched up, get healed, get refreshed, get rested. And Lord, not all churches are that way. I pray that we are that type of church, Lord, that this can be a place where people can come and heal, where people can come and get their questions answered, where people can come and find freedom, oh God. So God, be with us today as we go. Thank you for being with us, Lord, as we have celebrated you. And God, may you be glorified with everything we say and do. Prepare the hearts, dear God, of those that are going to go to outreach, Lord, these outreaches. Prepare those that are out there, Lord, that need a word. Prepare everyone today, Lord, as we encounter people, whether it be the waitress at the restaurant, if we encounter family, if we encounter, we see someone, oh God, wherever we connect with another life, dear God, may we learn, Lord, may we explore how to love them like we love ourselves, oh God. So God, help us take something today and to think upon it, to chew upon it, to take it into the week ahead and meditate. And may you be ever glorified in your holy name. Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of New Song Christian Fellowship in Louisville, Kentucky. Thank you for letting us share this message with you. May God bless you in constant and powerful ways. If you would like a copy of today's podcast, please send us an email to nslk@nslk.org. God bless.